Hi, this is Diana Previs with Happy Gut Healthy Lives. Today I have Angela Warburton. She is a traditional Chinese medicine expert. She was raised in North America. It is Angela's passion to help bring ancient wisdom into the modern world, making it easy to understand and integrate into everyday life. She's a speaker, writer, teacher, and practitioner. Angela works with people to empower and educate them about their health and well-being. So welcome, Angela, to the show today. How are you?
No, thank you. I'm great, thanks. I'm really happy to be here. I love talking about Chinese medicine and happy, healthy people, so I'm thrilled to be here.
So this summit today is Happy Gut, Healthy Lives, How to Heal Your Gut, Reduce Your Stress, Optimize Your Weight, and Promote Clear Thinking. So we're interested to know, how does Chinese medicine help in terms of healing your gut?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think it's one that requires a little bit of time. I'll give you a little bit of background, I think, in Chinese medicine to explain it. The way we look at the body, basically, in essence, Chinese medicine is about balance. So when your body is balanced, we feel good, we sleep well, we digest well, we have good appetite. So all of that, you know, basically, if we're balanced, we feel good. When we're off balance and we're imbalanced, we're going to have a lot of different signs or symptoms in our body, lots of different, little things that will show up that will give us sort of clues or cues as to what's going on. And so we look at the body more like an ecosystem than sort of like a mechanic would look at its car. Oh, your carburetor is broken, we'll fix that. We can't compartmentalize the body. So when we talk about things like healthy gut or, you know, healthy digestion, we really have to look at the whole person. And so we break things down into systems. We break things down into, understanding where that balance, like sometimes I joke, it sounds a bit like a weather report, but we talk a lot about hot or cold or damp or dryness. And as much as it sounds very simple, it's very easy to understand, but you can dive into the complexities of the body, but really balance things out very simply when we understand what the body's saying. So, you know, if the body's too hot, well, we want to cool it down. So we do that through what we eat, through how we live and all that kind of stuff. So when we're looking at healthy gut and a happy gut, we have to look at what we're eating, obviously. We have to look at a lot at lifestyle, and our emotions have a huge impact on our digestive health. And so, how someone maybe has issues in their digestive system, and it's going to be different for everyone. That's why there's no one diet, there's no magic pill, because it's just like saying every person out there in the world is the same. Well, we know we're all different. And so how we arrived at our state of health is different. So then when we can customize healing or foods or lifestyle advice, then we get a very tailored approach, and it's very specific to the individual, and we can have profound impact on someone's health. So we can actually heal in a very deep way. So that's kind of, we sort of look at everything when we're looking at digestion. And the nice thing is, it's a lot of little things that make a big difference over time. So I think people often look for these big sweeping changes, but often it's the little things that make the hugest difference.
I saw you on one of your shows. It was really good. It was about body type. We're all excited to know what kind of body type we are. So could you expand right on the different body types and how foods correlate to help balancing the body type?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what I did there, I mean, in any kind of television or media, is we sort of want quick answers. The thing is, it's, 5,000 years of medicine. So each person we would take more time to go in depth and really find out what's going on. But very generally speaking, we have these patterns that will show up in the body. So I've sort of, we'll say these types that show up in the body. So when we're off balance, it's going to show up in many ways. So sometimes I talked about, if there's too much heat in the body, for example, so someone we could call a hot type of person. And the reasons they got there will be different for everyone, but a hot type of person will show up with hot type of patterns in the body. So they're going to show up feeling hot. Either they're going to have waves of heat or hot at night, or they're going to be hot all the time. And when we think of what heat does, usually it turns things red. So it's like it burns stuff. So that people who have too much heat in their body will also have, might have, if they have skin issues, it would show up as redness, or if they have, might have red eyes or a very rootier, like red complexion. They heat tends to dry out things. Just think of the desert. We have used a lot of examples of nature in it. But if you think of what the desert has, a lot of sun, not a lot of moisture, the ground is really dry and cracked. And so people who have too much heat might be thirsty all the time. They might have really dry skin. They can't seem to get the water or the fluids replenished. They might have things like bowels would show up with like dry bowels or constipation because there's not enough fluid. Women might have very scanty menstruation, like things like that will show up with a heat pattern. So what we want to do to balance that is add cooling things. So that can be a cooling environment. That's why people, you know, if you're in the summer, it's hot, you go in the shade, you feel better because there's more cool, you know, or you go in the air conditioning or whatever it is. So we use a lot. We say food is the first line of healing that we do. There's a saying I like, better a trip to the grocer than a trip to the doctor. So we want to always look at what someone's eating to balance them out. So a lot of the food is quite intuitive as well. And when you think about foods that are, say, grown in the summertime, watermelon, melons, tomatoes, cucumbers, all those foods are naturally cooling in property. So we look at food as having nutritional value, like all the vitamins and minerals and that kind of stuff. But then we also look at the properties of it. So cooling foods or warming foods or foods that tend to be more moistening. So when we're using food as medicine, we really look to add foods in that are going to help to balance out the body. So someone who's really hot, you're going to be using foods that have that cooling or moistening effect. So the cucumbers, the watermelon, you know, any of those like cold pressed juices would be really great for this kind of person, or any kind of raw food, because raw food tends to have that cooling aspect. Their body can handle it. So they'd be a really good candidate for like more of a raw or cooling sort of diet and fresh foods and that kind of stuff. Then if you had someone who's the exact opposite of that, so like someone who's very cold, they would have the exact opposite things where they, instead of that red and hot and dry sort of body patterns, they would have something that's more cold or damp. And so just like the way, you know, how nature, you know, presents in winter or kind of when there's not a lot of sun, is there's not a lot of that heat. So people who are cold all the time, quite literally, I always joke, you know, with the people who are wearing sweaters and socks in the summertime and they're never, ever, ever warm, or they might have more of they don't have enough heat to burn through those fluids. So they might be someone who retains water really easily, or someone who just has trouble losing weight. They just feel really lethargic. Like cold tends to kind of, you know, fire, you know, if you think of someone like with a fiery personality, often they're kind of moving around and they've got lots of energy. But someone who's got more of the cold would be someone who just doesn't have that oomph. So people who are feeling like, you know, maybe people who have hypothyroidism or something like that, where they're cold, they're lethargic, they're tired, they're having a lot of more moisture or water retention in their body. So what we want to do with these people to balance them out is add warm foods. So we think intuitively, what would a warm food be? And like things like ginger, cinnamon, like when we have ginger, it has that sort of spicy, warm feeling. So when people are more of this cold type, then we would have them drinking warm drinks. So these people should not be having the raw food and not be having the like the cold drinks and smoothies. It would actually make their system way worse if they had that. Like with a hot person, if they were going to be having spicy, you know, hot foods or warm foods or cooked foods, they'd probably feel worse. And so the cold person, if they have like roasted foods and soups and things like that, it would actually add more heat into their system and they'd feel better. And I think intuitively, a lot of people know this. Unfortunately, we have a time when we get so much information about, you know, superfoods and raw foods better and salads are good and all these foods are great, but it just depends on the individual. So there's not, that's not one answer for people. And so that's why sometimes people will come in and they think they want to be healthy and they think they're doing the right thing and they're having salads for lunch every day and they're having frozen smoothies in the morning and they don't understand why they're getting like nasal congestion right after they eat, or they might have loose bowels, or they just feel awful. They're getting bloated after they have a meal, and yet the food is supposed to be good. And these people, when they, I remember one woman, she's like, she was eating salads every day, and it really wasn't great for her system. And when I said, you know, I think you'd be better off with soups and not having the salads, and she was like, oh my God, thank God. I hate them. I don't like the salads, but I think they're good for me. So I think that a lot of times people are sort of bypassing their intuition to go to what they think is good. So it's just, if we sort of drop it down to, what do I feel? I feel cold. Okay, well, I should have warm. So some of the other patterns we might look at would be someone who's dry. So that could be thirsty all the time, dry skin, dry hair, dry bowels, all that. And so we look at foods that are going to be more moistening. So, or foods that are going to, we say, build the blood and stuff. So that would be, like when we think about dairy products are really quite moistening. So they have a lot of, also some of the sweeter foods, like root vegetables or yams or things like that, they have a bit more of a moistening component to them. So that would balance out that dryness. Another thing, like bananas, we say bananas are very cooling and very moistening in property. So that would be great for a dry person. But then another pattern would be someone who we call them damp, maybe, like, again, we're using these sort of nature analogies, but a damp person would be someone who feels way worse when it's rainy out. You know, the people who can tell it's going to rain 3 days from now because their mm-hmm. knees get achy, and they've got, they might be congested all the time. They might have a lot of mucus in their throat. They'll probably be someone who retains water. They're just like, I can look at a glass of water and I've put on a few pounds. Or they might have edema, so swelling at certain parts of their body. So that's what we call a damp. And so they've got too much moisture in their system. And so what we need to do is balance out that moisture. So they need to cut the foods that are going to contribute to that. So that, you know, if they're having lots of bananas or having dairy products every day, that's going to make them feel way worse. So these people will be better with like dry roasted vegetables, not the sort of soups or things like that, or not like really moistening things. And then like another pattern we'd see a lot is what we call a stuck pattern. So this has a lot to do with our circulation. And just, you know, if I say stuck, people usually get an idea of what that means. Like, you know, think how you feel when you're in a traffic jam or something like that. It doesn't feel very good. You know, usually people who are stuck get they're irritable. Things aren't moving well. So it can be, you know, a buildup of toxins in the system. It can be tight shoulders, headache, a lot of PMS or period pain would be this, you know, this pattern. People who might feel terrible and then they go exercise and they feel way better. That would be, you know, this sort of stuck pattern in the body. So what we want to do with this is we want to move the energy. So this is, you know, a little bit about food. So some foods, we call them very pungent foods or aromatic. So like peppermint is an amazing one for stuck. You might have had this when you feel a bit irritable or stuck and that smell something like peppermint aromatherapy or something like that. And it just feels so fresh and invigorating. And that tends to, we say, move that system. A lot of like dill family, a lot of green foods will help to move that system. And, you know, things like greasy food, fried foods, overly congesting foods are going to stagnate that system. Same with large meals. Like, you know, you have a large meal, it's like putting a lot amount of work into your stomach, and it's just like it's having to work extra hard. So we want to eat, so maybe in smaller, sort of be more of a grazer and have small meals as opposed to big meals and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of how we break things down. I'm simplifying Chinese medicine a lot, but it's just the way we look at balance, and we look at how is the body presenting and what can we do to balance it out. Does that kind of answer your question?
The audience out there, you're probably taking notes as to which body type you are. I have a friend that he runs hot. So he actually puts ice cubes in his coffee right. or tea because he just can't drink it at that temperature. So that makes sense. In terms of Chinese medicine, how has it helped with stress reduction?
Yeah, well, stress is huge, right? Like so many people are stressed and busy, and our bodies were programmed for stress, but not prolonged stress. And I think that's something that we're missing. We tend to be operating on like go all the time and not having that rest time. So most people have probably heard about the yin and yang, like that's the sort of the balance in the body. And when we're doing stuff, that tends to be that yang system. And that yin system, which is equally as important, is that resting time. And we say, you know, you can stress tends to show up. Most people have probably heard of the the different nervous system. So there's the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight or freeze. When we're in a stressful situation, we sort of conserve our energy. We direct it to places, you know, and old, you know, well, it can still happen, but if you need to get out of a situation fast, your body's going to flood with adrenaline and cortisol. It's going to put energy into our muscles. Our pupils are going to dilate. Our heart is going to go faster. We're going to have, we're going to breathe more shallowly and stuff like that. And so our body in that state is just in survival mode. Then naturally what would happen is when the stress is gone, then we're going to calm down. That parasympathetic nervous system is going to come on board, and that our body's going to be able to go back to healing. And so basically our body can only be in survive or heal mode. It can't do both. And so some of the problem of modern day life is we're stuck in that sympathetic nervous system, you know, being on all the time. So, you know, traffic, it's busy. I'm busy getting around places. We have jobs that are stressful or whatever it is. We're inundated with negative news and things like that. That people are sort of stuck in that place of survival. And so what happens is our bodies start to kind of break down. We aren't digesting well when we're stressed. The blood supply literally stops or slows down into our digestive organs when we're in that fight or flight state, because that's not deemed essential to survival. And so when we have an impeded blood flow to our digestive system, that starts to not work as well, because, you know, if you're trying to run away from something, it's not a great time to be digesting food or going to the bathroom or anything like that. And so same with reproductive health, that if we're in that fight or flight, our body will literally shut down or restrict blood flow into our uterus, the ovaries, all that as well. So with Chinese medicine, I mean, the main components of Chinese medicine, there's the acupuncture, which most people have heard about. There's the food, which is, for me, primary, what we use to help people heal, using food as medicine. Then there's herbal medicine, which really is just concentrated food. It's just using, it's all mostly plant-based. There are some animal products, but really we don't use that many of them, or we don't use them at all if we choose not to. And they're really focused on taking this concentrated substance 3 times a day and using natural means to help heal the body. Then we use exercise as part of it. And we look a lot at lifestyles. We look a lot at emotions in health too. And everything's relevant in Chinese medicine. And if we have some sort of emotional state that's off, or we're feeling out of balance with that, we have to address that in the healing as well. And so when we're looking at stress, we're looking at, okay, so what's going on in life? Is it, you know, stress, having a diet that's not healthy, if we're eating a lot of highly processed food or toxic food, it's going to stress our system, because we're not getting the nutrients we need, and we're also having to to process a lot more. So that can be stressful on our body. Obviously, lifestyle, emotional situations can be really stressful as well. And so we're looking at what's out of balance, and then we're going to address it. So acupuncture is an amazing way to help drop that body into that parasympathetic nervous system, to calm it down, to help unblock any basically blockages. That's not so articulate, but in the body. So it's going to help to help with circulation, help the body detoxify, help the body de-stress. We use food sometimes as well to cleanse the body. So we're going to look at all the different components to a person, because really it's the way I practice, but I think that true healing happens when we look at the whole person. If we're just compartmentalizing, and anyone knows this, like if they have something highly emotional that happens, it's going to affect them physically as well. If we're, you know, things aren't going well at home, it's going to affect our job, or if our job isn't going well, that will affect our home life. Like we are an ecosystem, and so where we live, all that stuff comes into play. And so in true healing, we have to look at all of that. And really that's the essence of Chinese medicine. Really do look at, you know, we look at genetics, we look at lifestyle, we look at environment, like quite literally where you live can have a huge impact on your health. So I've had people that were born in Arizona and then moved to Vancouver. So very different climates, like very, very dry, and Vancouver is very, very damp, and they can have a huge impact on their health depending what's going on by the environment they live in. Or if someone's living in a damp basement apartment and they're there quite a bit of their time, that's going to have an effect on their health. Likewise, you know, times of year can affect people differently and all of that. So really, what I do when I work with someone is I sit down with them for usually the first appointment's like an hour and a half, and we go through everything, and it becomes pretty clear where the imbalance is lying. And then we then I'll pull in all the different resources, the food that I do a lot of mindfulness, nutrition, herbs if needed, exercise routines, and pull it all together and then help to bring that person back to balance. And I think a big thing too, there's a saying, the best doctors have no patients. And that means basically that we've taught everyone to understand what their body's saying and understand where the imbalance is and give them the tools to correct at home so that they are keeping themselves healthy. They understand when their body's off of balance and what they need, and they're able to shift up what they're doing and go back to balance. Because we say, you know, I say your body's talking all the time, and through, you know, whether you have dry eyes or hangnails or whatever, that's a sign. But you want to catch it when it's talking and not when it's screaming. And basically disease is the body screaming. So with stress in that, we just really look at what are the sources of stress and then seek to bring in everything we can to hold, to heal it.
That's amazing, because stress is the number one immune compromiser. So as we are heading into summer and everyone is looking to try to lose weight so they can fit into that bikini, can you help to show ways of how Chinese medicine has helped with weight loss and optimizing one's weight?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Again, it's hard to distill something down to a thing to do because, like I was saying at the beginning, we're all so different. Like everybody has their unique body and body type and life, but there are these patterns that will show up. So the first thing, I think with weight and having, you know, being a healthy weight, is the shape of the digestive system. So that means from everything from, does someone have a good appetite, to how they feel when they eat, after they eat? Like, do they get acid reflux? Do they get bloating? Do they, you know, that kind of stuff, to the right through the other, to the once the food goes in and then when the food goes out. So how are bowel patterns and all of that? So we want to make sure that that whole system is working well. We want to make sure that the body's actually absorbing food. That's a huge thing. So, I mean, everyone's heard about leaky gut and all that. So, I mean, we look at that. So the way I'll talk a little bit about digestion just quickly. The way we look at the digestive system, it's almost like if you sort of think of like a campfire, and then you have a pot on it and you want to cook food. So you need that fire to be basically strong so that you'll be able to break down and cook the food that's in the pot. So that's kind of like our stomach. And so basically everything that we put into our digestive system needs to be warmed up above body temperature. So that's going to kick in. The digestive enzymes need that heat to kind of kick in. And then it needs to be broken down into a soupy medium. And so, and then it will go into our small intestine and we'll absorb the nutrients that we need. And then it will go into the large intestine. It keeps absorbing as it goes. And then we'll excrete what we don't need. And so if we're someone who, say, colds all the time and we're putting in raw food, our body can't break it down. Like, it's just, you know, even though raw food has higher nutrients in it, if our body can't absorb it, we're only absorbing a small amount. And usually these are the people that have like looser bowels or like even like the IBS, that tends to be a stress pattern or something like that. The body's just not absorbing properly. So if we do something like take the work out of the digestive system, so that's instead of putting in, because, you know, if you have a pot of soup and you want to cook it and you put in ice blocks all the time, it's not going to break down. It's not going to ever really cook properly. So if we take that work out of the digestive system and put things in, say, in soup form. So soup form is basically, especially like a pureed soup or something, the body doesn't have to work really at all to break down that food. It's already in there. It's warm and it's already in that soupy medium. Like, it's already pureed. So all the body has to do is just absorb it. So for someone who has, who maybe be that they related to the cold body type, so they're feeling like they retain water easily, they're just bloated all the time, they maybe are heavier no matter what they do, and they might not even eat that much, but they're not able to lose weight. These might be people who are like having salads because they want to do a health food, but they just feel awful after. These people would be better to add warm foods, warm cooked foods, maybe some of those nice warming spices, like do a like a ginger or a cinnamon or something like that in like a squash soup or whatever, something like that, that would sort of kickstart that digestive system. So it's going to help them burn through the food and actually absorb the food better. And then their metabolism is going to heat up, and then they're going to be able to actually lose some of the weight or just have their body be more efficient with the food that comes in. So that's a huge thing. So we really want to make sure the digestive system is healthy, because sometimes, you know, there's obviously the stuff around food in and food out, or, you know, energy in and energy out. So that'd be the food in and then the amount of energy that we do. But for some people, often these cold types, they're so lethargic, they're so tired. If they can switch up the food, that will naturally give them more energy, and then their body will be more efficient in burning. And some people, you know, exercise is so important, but, you know, we don't want to over exercise and we don't want to under exercise. So it's that balance to it. So yeah, I think that like one of the key, that like the big key thing with weight loss is the digestive system, making sure what we're putting in is important, like is good for us. So it's like whole food basically is going to give us the nutrients we need. It's also, you know, as far as probiotics and prebiotics and making that gut biome really healthy, that's going to help us absorb stuff and be, you know, balanced in that way. And it's going to give us the nutrients we need. So sometimes, you know, especially with cravings, when people eat processed food, the body's not getting what it needs. So usually cravings are the body saying, okay, so I just had some chips. I didn't get what I needed. So maybe if I have more of that, I'll get what I need. Whereas if we give our body the nutrients it needs, so like, you know, green foods are great, or they tend to stabilize the blood sugar and stuff. And if we're eating, and, you know, micronutrients and the really nutrient dense foods like seaweeds or things like that, they're going to give the body all those micronutrients. And when we're satisfied in that way, then the cravings often go, because we're like, oh, I don't need that anymore. So I find that happens a lot with people when they get nourished, because their body's absorbing the food and they're giving the body the types of food that are going to nourish them. The cravings kind of quit them. Like they're just like, I really have no desire for a cookie or for chips or anything like that. So it's sometimes people try to white knuckle it through dieting or something, where diets don't really work, but it's like, it's more like feed your body what it needs, and then the rest of it kind of takes care of itself a little bit. I'm generalizing and I'm simplifying, but
well, what would you suggest someone could start today to help themselves if they were looking to go towards Chinese medicine to alleviate their stress and make their gut feel better? Where should they start today? What can they look into?
Yeah, I have quite a few articles on this on my website. So people are, I just provide a lot for free just for people to sort of get some ideas. But generally, the whole food diet, so plant-based, organic, locally sourced food is great. And then if you're doing animal products, make sure they're grass-fed, and just in small amounts is great if people do that. And then eat seasonally. So that means, so I live in around Toronto, so we have four distinct seasons. In the winter, do cooked foods. You know, like in the colder months, make sure you're eating foods that are warm and cooked. You don't want to be doing like tropical fruits in the middle of February or having ice water in February because it's freezing. So, you know, eat whatever foods are grown locally to where you are. It's going to be a really good indicator. It's when I talked about those properties of food, nature has this way of balancing us. So when you eat locally, you're going to be getting the things that are going to balance your system for that time of year. So that's a huge thing. So locally sourced, seasonal foods, cooking your foods if you've got any digestive issues, and working, if you've got any stuff you want to look at sort of gut healing things. So that's that whole, you know, leaky gut or that side of things. Then stress reduction. I have a whole article on ways to engage your parasympathetic nervous system, so that rest and digest. But little things like look at your stressors in your life. Notice how you are, you know, if you're at your desk, are you holding your breath? Are you not exercising? Like little things can make a huge difference. So like just a little bit more walking, or making, there's a little trick you can do to calm stress in your body, that when we're calm, we tend to have longer exhales than our inhales. We tend to also breathe into our ribs and more into our belly. So if you're stressed, usually people are breathing very shallowly into their chest. So if you consciously make your exhales longer than your inhale, you're actually going to be calming your nervous system and engaging that parasympathetic nervous system. So just recognizing, you know, where the stressors are, little things in your day that you can do to sort of get out of that fight or flight state. No, people can't necessarily change their job, but they can change how they respond to situations or just self-care.
That is amazing, Angela. Thank you so much for being part of the summit today. And we will look towards, you can check Angela out at angelawarburton.com. Yep. And we'll see you tomorrow for another episode of Happy Gut, Healthy Lives. See you soon.
Thank you.